Great One is a little shagged out right now. He's got back from doing a lot of physical stuff out in the heat. Whew, energy is low, but it's okay because we don't have to do a bunch of yelling at the internet. You already know why we're here because you saw the title of the episode. So the Great One was paid to do a review of the movie Tank Girl, which I finally tracked down, got a hold of. So what did I know about Tank Girl before watching it? Here's what I knew. I knew that it was about a girl with a tank, and she was fighting against some corporation, and I was under the impression that it was a very lefty movie. And it's based on a comic book, if I didn't say that already. So that's about all I knew about it. I watched it yesterday, and I can say that the movie was better than I expected, and also as bad as I expected, but it was bad for reasons other than what I expected. So the first thing I'll say, speaking in general, then I'll go through my 3 pages of notes and read them. It was not, I was expecting it to be feministy, leftisty, you know, anti-conservative, anti-right, propaganda-ish. It really wasn't any of those things. It wasn't, I didn't think it was feministy at all. I mean, Tank Girl had a boyfriend. You know, she didn't hate men. There wasn't really any, and the bad guy was the leader of the corporation, but there weren't any, like, anti-corporation speeches or, you know, people should get everything for free and how dare this guy. So it really wasn't political. It wasn't feministy. It wasn't anti-capitalism. And I expected all of that, and it wasn't there. I wouldn't watch it again, but watching it once was okay. Here's what I think was the biggest problem with this movie. It was too much. It was very schizophrenic. There are times when I wasn't really sure why people were doing what they were doing. It's like the bad guy wants Tank Girl to work for him. But it's like, why? I mean, what's special about her? So she killed. So Tank Girl lives in this sort of, all right. So in this world, there's a comet and it hit the Earth and it hasn't rained in 17 years or something like that. So there's no rain. And so water is now provided. The ocean is gone. And water is provided by this company called Water and Power. And they have a monopoly on water. Okay. And the leader of this company, he's the bad guy. All right. So Tank Girl and her boyfriend and a bunch of their friends and kids and everything, they essentially live in this house like a hippie commune type thing. And they're stealing water from Water and Power. Okay. So Tank Girl's on guard duty one night. And of course, she's a woman. She's completely irresponsible. And she doesn't notice that the security troops from Water and Power are coming up on the house. And they, you know, they no knock on the door and they come through the house and they, yes, look, they're siphoning water away from the company and they're shooting everybody and stuff. And Tank Girl apparently shoots 8 of these guys, even though she's completely inept. And they capture her and they take her back, you know, and the main bad guy is like, oh, you killed 8 of my men. I want you to work for me. Like, okay, like, what, really? Like, that's your plot set up for all of this, is that you want this chick to work for you because she managed to kill 8 of your doofus employees. So there are a lot of, like, that. I'm sitting there going, why is this happening? And then the bad guy, like, kidnaps the little girl that was from the commune. And I'm just like, and anyway, there's just a lot of points in the movie where I was very unclear on what the motivation was for what the hell was going on. Okay? And I'm like, yes, as with any movie, the motivation is that it's in the script and the actor wants to get paid. And that's a legit. But there was too much. The movie had too much going on, and I don't think there was a clear vision on what this movie was supposed to be. All right, let me whip out the notes here. Just the Girl You Want song. No, she is. So the music. Oh God, the music in this movie was so annoying. And I have this complaint about every movie out there. This was no exception. The people who do the sound, guys, the dialogue is really low, and then the background music comes in and just fucking blows your speakers out. Or the gunfire starts, and it just blows the speakers out. You know, I turn the volume up so I can hear the dialogue, and then the music and the special effects and the gunfire is all obnoxiously loud. Okay, look, I understand that in real life, gunfire is fairly loud, but this isn't real life, it's a movie. How about you balance the fucking sound? So anyhow, it starts off with a song on the opening credits by Devo, whom I love Devo. The song, Just a Girl You Want. Well, the actress, no, she's not. Tank Girl has got her head shaved. And she has tattoos. And she's a fucking dingbat. She's an absolute fucking dingbat. She just dingbats. Let's talk about this before I go through the notes. The character just dingbats her way through the entire movie. She does a lot of the one-liners and the quips. You know, it's kind of James Bondy. You know, the good James Bond, not the shitty recent James Bonds that I've been talking about lately that were so fucking bad. You know, like the Roger Moore James Bond where he's always got some little quip for everything. But again, there was too much of it. She was way too quippy and she was way too dingbatty. And she just dingbats her way through the whole movie. So she's not a girl that I want. That's the point. All right. So anyhow, thing starts off. What are my notes here? Boyfriend's birthday. Okay. So that was she starts off the movie. She's going off searching to find a present for her boyfriend on his birthday. I'm like, well, and my thought was, well, look, here's why I wrote it down. Because it's like, well, she's not a lesbian. I mean, if they made this movie today, right, she'd be a tranny lesbian or something. So this is my first indicator that maybe the movie was not quite as feminist as I'd been led to believe because Tank Girl has a boyfriend. Music way too loud as usual. Yes, we talked about that already. Insert comic book stills. Does save money. Okay, so I'm watching the movie and suddenly comic book stills, pictures from the comic book start appearing on the screen to help move the action along. And I'm like, okay, well, this is, I guess, a thing. I mean, it saves them from, you know, like you want to show an exterior of something, you show the comic book picture, you don't have to actually build that exterior, right? You don't have to shoot these scenes, you can use these comic. So the comic book scenes are kind of flopping along, and I'm like, all right, that's an interesting choice. You lack that courage. Shit, I wrote this. Somebody said that line. I wrote it down. Why did they say that line? I'm sure. Well, it was important. That's why I wrote it down, but I can't remember. Okay, so Then, so Tank Girl's out on guard duty, right, which she's not taking seriously. And somebody comes up behind her, and she assumes it's her boyfriend. This is one of those moments in the movie where you're going, okay, that's not your boyfriend. You might want to turn around and look. And she starts cutting off her stockings and her clothing so that she can get banged. And then she finds out that it's not her boyfriend. It's one of the security people from Water and Power. And so there it is. You know, this is what I'm saying. Her home gets invaded, and a bunch of these people get killed, including, as near as I could tell, her boyfriend got killed, or at the very least, her boyfriend got captured. Now, interestingly enough, through the rest of the movie, she doesn't seem to give a shit about the boyfriend. Like, if he got captured, she never tries to rescue him or find where he is or anything. And if he got killed, well, she didn't seem very emotionally distraught. But this little girl, she's willing to risk life and limb to save this little girl. So anyhow, while she's on guard duty, fucking around, not paying attention, and then stripping for her boyfriend, this is why you don't let women pull guard duty. So they capture her, they're taking her back, and, you know, again, she's mouthing, through the whole movie, she's just mouthing off to everybody. And like I said, at this point, it's starting to get old. The actress did do a good job. And again, the actress is working, I don't know the actress's name. The actress is working with what she's got to work with. I think she did a very good job portraying the character. I mean, her acting skills, I think, were very adequate. I believed that she was this fucking bimbo. And she had this moment where, after they've captured her, she breaks one of the guy's necks. Okay, now, sit aside whether or not she could really break a guy's neck with her legs and all that other horseshit. But she did it really. So she breaks the guy's neck, and everybody looks at her, and she goes, "What?" And the way she delivered it was really good. It's a great delivery. There were funny moments like that. There was a lot of funny moments. So then they take her to the big boss guy. He's like, "I want you to work for me." And she's like, "Piss off." He's like, "Well, you'll change your mind." And they put her to work, you know, down in the whatever, the mine, digging. I don't know what they're digging up. I don't know what they're doing. It's just your typical bad guy thing where you put people to work and they're down there carrying stuff around in buckets, you know, and she's dirty and getting tortured and working and all this. I don't understand what's going on. I guess it doesn't matter. It's a comic book movie. And she goes in to take a shower. And it's like, oh, it's going to be the shower scene. And there's a big sign there that says you have to shower with your underwear on because we only wash your outer clothing. We don't wash your underwear. So I'm like, oh, here it comes. She gets under the shower head. She pulls the thing and like dust comes out of the shower because I guess you get a dust shower. And the shitty music is playing. And I'm like, well, I don't know if I'm happy that I was spared a shower scene with this unattractive woman or what, but there it is. So a bunch of stuff happens. All right, so there's this group in the movie called the Rippers. The Rippers are, at this point, an unknown variable, but they're these creatures that are attacking the Water and Power outpost and killing everybody. So the bad guy wants to catch them, of course. So the bad guy takes Tank Girl out to a place where they're going to try to find the Ripper hideout. He's going to send her to find the Ripper hideout. Why he's sending her to do this instead of some specially trained people, I don't know. But just go with it. And while they're there, the Rippers attack. And so the Rippers kill everybody, except for whatever reason, they don't kill Tank Girl. She's completely untouched and unharmed, but they managed to kill everyone else. Or at least so we suspect. Turns out they also did not kill the leader of Water and Power, although you would think that they would know what the leader of Water and Power looks like, and you would think that if they had the opportunity to kill him, they would kill him, but they just wounded him, and you know, he gets some cybernetic implants and stuff, and he continues to harass Tank Girl throughout the movie. And I mean, that was kind of, it was what it was. It wasn't that creative, in my opinion. It wasn't terrible. It was that much of a plot twist, because he's the main bad guy. You know, he's not going to die. So, okay, whatever. Because the whole thing about the Rippers, earlier in the movie, they say that nobody's ever seen a Ripper, because the Rippers kill everyone. So then I want to know, how did Tank Girl survive? If the Rippers are so amazing at killing people, how the fuck is Tank Girl still alive? So anyhow, at this point, I also wrote down, she's very childish. Because the character was very childish. Maybe that's why people thought it was a feminist movie, because she does behave a lot like a woman. She's very childish and irresponsible. All right. Just as I started liking it, animation sequence with shitty music. Terrible comic stills, shitty music montage. Okay, so now the comic stills start appearing again, and we do this whole fucking montage of... So we're skipping a whole lot. Tank Girl gets back to where she's imprisoned, trying to remember after they attack, she's the only one alive. Why did she get back? I don't even remember. And so now we get introduced to Jet Girl. So Jet Girl is this other chick. She repairs jets, and there's this guy there. It's a typical thing. One of the soldiers there wants to bang her because she is pretty cute. Jet Girl is way cuter than Tank Girl. I looked up the actress who played Jet Girl. I've completely forgotten her name. She did not look attractive in any of the pictures I saw of her, but as in this particular movie, she did look pretty cute. So Jet Girl and Tank Girl, they get together, they make their escape. Tank Girl steals a tank, Jet Girl steals a jet. A getaway, and there's this painful fucking montage as they're like painting the jet and the tank and all this stuff, and it's got the comic book stills. And at this point, the comic book stills have gone from being, oh, that's an interesting choice, to being annoying. So then they go on this quest to, where were they going? What were they doing? Why did they do this? I'm trying to remember. They're going to find the Rippers to team up with them. Okay. So they're going on this quest, and was that why they're doing it yet? See, I can't even remember the plot. I watched this literally Hitler this 24 hours ago. Oh, no. Okay. I got it. I'm with it now. I remember. So this little girl that was in the commune with Tank Girl, Tank Girl finds out she's alive and finds out where she is. And she's at this highfalutin whorehouse where they're going to pimp her out to some guy who wants to fuck a 10-year-old girl. Okay. So Tank goes to rescue her. Jet Girl and Tank Girl go to rescue her. And they get to the whorehouse, which is also kind of like a spa. It's a spa / whorehouse. Sounds pretty good, actually. And there's a bunch of hot chicks there, scantily clad. There's the best scene in the whole movie because there's a bunch of hot chicks wearing not a lot of clothes. And they go in to rescue her and they get her. And at this point, the movie turns into a musical. The music is playing. People are singing. There's choreographed dancing. It literally, Hitler becomes a musical. Like a musical. Now, History of the World Part 1, which I recently watched, had the same thing in one part. In the different segments, the entire segment about the Spanish Inquisition was done as a musical. And it worked, because there are different segments. There's a segment, you know, in ancient Rome. There's a segment, Spanish Inquisition. There's a segment, the French Revolution. Because there were segments, and each segment is distinct. And the Spanish Inquisition segment was done in its entirety as a musical. Singing, dancing, music, choreography. And it worked. In this, they just insert out of nowhere, and this never appears again, this full-fledged singing, dancing, music, choreography. And this is when I started to realize that this movie's problem was not its politics, because there really weren't any. And the problem wasn't it was a feminist movie, because it really wasn't. The problem was the movie has too fucking much going on. It's constantly over the top. The over-the-topness of how much of a bimbo Tank Girl is. The over-the-topness of how much of a smart mouth she is. The over-the-topness of the shitty music. The over-the-topness of the over-reliance on the comic book stills on the screen. The over-the-topness of suddenly breaking into a musical number. And again, never doing it again. It was just way too much. And they're doing all of this. They're doing all of this. Tank Girl and everyone stops. Tank Girl and Jet Girl stop to sing and dance and all this other stuff instead of just rescuing the girl and running the fuck away. Because now, while they're doing all of their choreography and singing their songs, the bad guys from Water and Power show up and kidnap the little girl that Tank Girl just rescued. The reason they kidnap her is because the bad guy wants to use her to manipulate Tank Girl into working for him. And I still don't understand what's so special about Tank Girl that this guy needs her to work for him when he has trained soldiers. I understand it's in the script and they're just doing what's in the script, but it doesn't really make any sense to me. As numerous things, such as, why do you rescue somebody and then stop to sing a song? You rescue them, you get the fuck out of Dodge. All right, what I wrote in my notes at this point, aimless, clueless, immature. That's my take on the character. She's just sort of bouncing around like a ping pong ball in a clothes dryer. I don't understand why she's doing things she's doing. Next thing I wrote here is, all her friends got killed. Little girl is kidnapped. She's taking pictures of her underwear. Okay, all right. Oh, we skipped a lot of stuff here. All right, so, because of taking pictures of her underwear, let me explain that. So they find the Rippers. The Rippers are are mutated kangaroos. No. They're humans who have been like genetically crossed with kangaroos or something. So they're a half human, they're half kangaroo. It's comic book. It's kind of weird looking. Again, it's not supposed to be serious. It's supposed to be, you know, comedy, tongue-in-cheek, and that's the way it looks. I don't know. So given that, it's like, okay, kangaroos. Why did we cross humans with kangaroos? Is there a joke here that I don't understand? Because kangaroos, don't seem that deadly. I mean, yes, I understand in real life, like if a kangaroo kicks you, it could fucking, you know, kill you if it kicks you in the right place. They're not weak little, you know, fucking animals. It's like getting kicked by a horse or something. I get that. But because it's a comedy, I'm thinking you would cross the humans with an animal that gives some measure of humor. And I'm not sure what's funny about crossing a human with a kangaroo. Because it wasn't funny to me. Maybe there's something I don't know. Maybe there's a joke here, right? So again, it was just like, okay, there's a choice made. And understand the choice was made by the people who wrote the comic book. You know, it wasn't a choice made specifically for the movie. They're following the comic book. I don't know why it was kangaroos. I don't know what animal would have been funnier right offhand, but it wasn't funny. It wasn't particularly interesting. And, you know, again, I get there's this juxtaposition of, okay, the Rippers kill everyone and everybody's terrified of them, but then when she meets them in person, they're half man, they're half kangaroo. They're not scary looking. They're just weird looking. Each of them had very distinct personalities. None of them were particularly threatening. So, you know, there's this thing, well, look at you meet them up close and they're kind of stupid looking. And, you know, the one is like, dude, he's really hip, man. And we're going to check our astrological signs and I'm going to play the saxophone and recite some cool beat poetry that I wrote. You know, then Ice-T plays one of them and he's like, yo, I was a cop, and he's all badass and everything. And okay, I get it. None of it was funny. And honestly, none of it was really even interesting. Like, I didn't give a shit about the characters. I mean, Tank Girl was kind of obnoxious, but I could find myself caring about the character a little bit. I could care about Jet Girl because Jet Girl was cute, and also for another reason that we'll talk about in a minute. You know, like the bad guy is going to drown the little girl, you know, like a James Bond villain instead of just killing her, whatever he's going to do. Okay, I'm like, I hope the little girl survives, you know? But the kangaroo guys, I just didn't care. I just didn't care. So the kangaroo guys are like, look, if you want to hang out with us, you got to prove yourself to us. You want to prove that you're not here spying for water and power. So we think there's this water and power arms shipment. Why water and power is shipping arms? Like, they're a giant corporation. Why do they have to like ship arms on the black market or whatever? Just take the fucking guns where they need to be or something. I don't understand what's going on. But they tell Tank Girl, Jet Girl, you know, go to this place where these arms are being delivered, these guns are being delivered, and get evidence. Here's a camera. You take pictures with the camera. It'll transmit it back to us. So they go, they do this. There, it is a very clever scene where they got to get down to where the crates are actually being moved around to get pictures that there are actually guns in the crates, because it could be anything, right? So Tank Girl comes up with this plan where they go down there and they're like, oh, hey, we're taking pictures for the Men of Water and Power calendar, and you guys are a bunch of hunks. We want to take your pictures for the calendar. And Jet Girl has the camera, and so she's like taking the pictures of the guy as they're posing. It's very clever. It's very funny. It was one of the other good moments in the movie. But before they do that, the kangaroo's like, we need more evidence. You got to get closer. You know, and Tank Girl says, I'll send you more evidence. You know, she pulls her pants down and takes a picture of her panties and sends it back to them. And I'm like, okay, you know, you're trying to get these guys to help you to rescue this little girl that you care and yada, yada, yada. And you're running around taking pictures of your panties. On one hand, I kind of don't understand why you're doing this. On the other hand, you're a woman. And this is exactly what I would expect from a woman. It's this kind of immaturity. This kind of aimless, clueless immaturity. just like I wrote down. And that's right, I wrote down, all of her friends got killed. This little girl is kidnapped, right? Her boyfriend is either dead or imprisoned, and she's taking pictures of her underwear. I mean, she's a white woman from North America. I then wrote down, too flippant / immature. Comic, yes, too over the top. Yeah, because that was my impression through the whole movie. It was too much. It was too over the top. It was too, and again, you know, it was trying too hard to be funny. There were genuinely funny moments in the movie. Like when she broke the guy's neck and the other soldiers look at her and she goes, what? I mean, that was funny. The delivery was funny. It was funny. But there was so much of Tank Girl trying to be funny that it became unfunny. It needed to tone it the fuck down. Once again, I wrote down shit music. Then I wrote tanker truck scene from Road Warrior. So then there's a whole scene. So they have to chase the truck that has the guns on it. And if you've seen Road Warrior at the end, right, where all of the, what did they call them? All the bad guys, there's a name, the not Reavers. Or was it Reavers? Or am I thinking about a different? No, Reavers is, what do you call it? Firefly. The bad guys are chasing the tanker truck that Mad Max is driving. Right? That whole scene. Basically, they did that scene. Except Tank Girl and Jet Girl are chasing the truck that has the guns on it. Tank Girl's in her tank and Jet Girl's in her jet. Great one. She has a tank. Why doesn't she just shoot the fucking truck? I don't know. That's a great question. That's a really good question. Why doesn't she just... And if you want the guns, you don't shoot the trailer. You just shoot the cab of the truck with your tank. I don't know why she doesn't do this. Because she didn't have any problem killing other people. Like there's guys on the truck. Just like in Mad Max. Just like how the guys were on the truck and on the trailer to shoot the bad guys and defend the oil, the gasoline rather. There were guards on the trailer behind the semi-tractor, you know, to guard it. And she's shooting them and killing them, no problem. Why not just shoot the cab of the fucking truck? I don't know. Next thing I wrote down, Jet Girl is the best part. She was the best part of the movie. She was cute and for reasons that we'll get to in a minute. What is so special about Tank Girl? Why all the trouble? Yeah, again, see, I'm still trying to figure out why does this bad guy so desperately want to manipulate Tank Girl into working for him? What's so special about her? I don't know. I need water. So a bunch of stuff happens. A whole bunch of stuff happens. Tank Girl and Jet Girl and the kangaroos go to attack Water and Power's headquarters and rescue the little girl and do whatever else damage they're going to do. And the bad guy reappears, catches Tank Girl, they're talking, and he plays the recording of the kangaroo people and Jet and Tank talking and all this stuff. And he's like, yeah, I've known what you're up to the whole time. And Tank Girl says, oh my God, Jet Girl's been working for you this whole time, hasn't she? Jet Girl betrayed us. And he's like, no, Jet Girl didn't betray you. You betrayed you because you're a walking microphone. Because, like, I implanted microphones in you or something. I'm like, this just kind of came out of nowhere. Is this... How'd you implant microphones in her? How does she not know this? What kind of microphones are these? Like, what is... What? The next thing I wrote in my notes is, it's like she stole Harley Quinn's personality. Which at this point, again, with all the wisecracking, I thought about that. It's like, you know, Tank Girl is kind of channeling Harley Quinn, I feel like. It's like they wanted to write a Harley Quinn story, but of course they didn't own that character. All right, so then a bunch of shit happens again. They're fighting, there's fighting, there's more fighting. The tank shows up. So earlier when they're trying to capture the trailer full of guns, and Tank Girl doesn't just shoot the semi-truck with the gun of the tank. So she's like whistling, and the tank, she jumps off the tank, and the tank keeps going right beside the truck. And then the tank falls behind, and she whistles, and the tank comes up. And I'm thinking, what is this tank like remote controlled or something? Where did this happen? So now the tank shows up. She's fighting the bad guy. The tank comes through the wall. And she's talking to the tank, and the tank is responding, not with words, but like with actions. She's like, shoot the bad guy. And the tank is like waving its gun back and forth. She's like, what do you mean you can't shoot him? Are you out of ammo? And the tank is like blinking its lights to tell her the tank is out of ammo. Okay, so now in the movie, it has become obvious at this point that the tank is either sentient or it's like controlled by some computer that can respond to voice commands. So it's like a robot or a droid. And I'm like, where the fuck did this come from? Because there's other tanks in the movie. This isn't the only tank. And there's airplanes. Jet Girl has an airplane. There's other airplanes. There's other military technology. There's no indication anywhere in the movie that any of these other tanks or any of these airplanes are sentient or AI controlled or whatever the fuck it is. So this just comes out of nowhere. I'm like, look, if this is a thing, that's fine. But it shouldn't come at me like this at the very end of the movie. This should have been presented to us earlier in the movie. There should be some explanation for this. So instead of maybe doing musical numbers and dancing around, maybe there should have been some kind of explanation for, is this tank different from the other tanks and it has this really intelligent AI computer that controls it? Or does all the technology, all the military technology like this, in which case I should have seen some kind of indicators like this other places in the movie? For example, when the kangaroos attack the water and power outpost, we see the devastation afterwards, and in the devastation there's tanks. Well, if these tanks are sentient and can drive around by themselves and shoot by themselves, well, shouldn't the tanks have maybe shot the kangaroos? Or something. There's some kind of fucking indicator. Maybe the tanks would run away. I don't know. Something, though. But it's just this bizarre shit coming out of nowhere. And again, this is one of those things. It's based on a comic book. Maybe this stuff is explained in the comic book, because the comic book can take as long as it wants, right? But if you're going to make a comic book movie, you've got to make it accessible to people who don't know the comic book. Or you're going to limit your audience. Let me put a modifier on there. An example of that being done well, I talked about this movie, was Battle Angel Alita, which I've read the comic book, and I saw the movie. I thought the movie was pretty good. It was very different in a lot of ways. It was very similar in a lot of ways. But what it did do well is that Battle Angel Alita, you can watch that movie and the movie is self-contained. Everything you need to know is in that movie. So Tank Girl then goes and gets in the tank, and she takes beer cans and loads them into the barrel of the tank's gun, and the tank shoots the beer cans out of its gun at the bad guy. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but you can't shoot a beer can out of a tank gun. That doesn't work. Again, at this point, the movie is just being overly ridiculous. I mean, it hasn't rained in 17 years. Okay. I mean, it's not really likely, but that's the premise of the movie, right? Again, the science fiction thing of you can have one impossible thing as long as everything else makes sense. Okay, so because without the it hasn't rained for 17 years, there's no movie. All right, it hasn't rained for 17 years. All right, I can buy that. This guy wants Tank Girl to work for him. Not really sure why, but okay, I'm willing to buy that. Some mad scientist tried to create super soldiers. They tried to create super soldiers. That was the plot device. You know, some government tried to create super soldiers by crossing humans with kangaroos. Okay. I'm willing to buy that. Shooting beer cans out of a tank that can communicate with humans. I'm not buying this. You've gone too far. You've gone too fucking far. And that's the biggest problem with this movie, is the movie just goes too far on everything. The problem is not the politics. The problem is not feminism. The problem is the movie goes too far. That's why I wrote here in really big letters, tried too hard to be too much. And I wrote, not feminist, more insane. Again, Tank Girl is not, I would not say Tank Girl is a feminist character. I don't think that was a feminist character. I think she was just an insane character. It's kind of annoying character. Very funny moments. But overall, just annoying. Now, get another drink of water here. Let's talk about Jet Girl, who is cute. As you may or may not know, if you've seen a movie or not before, or read a book, typically, your protagonist goes through some kind of a journey. We often call this the hero's journey, right? The protagonist starts off in one place and ends up in a different place, and something happens along the way that their character changes, their worldview changes, their outlook changes, they mature, they become a person who is in some way different than they were before. They overcome obstacles and it changes him or her. Tank Girl did not make the hero's journey. At the end of this movie, she was exactly the same character she was at the beginning. The character who did make the hero's journey was Jet Girl. In the beginning, she was this person. She was working here for the corporation. The guy was hitting on her. She was very insecure. She was unsure of herself. She had this line in there about something like, how'd the line go? If you don't call attention to yourself, people don't pay attention to you. And if people don't pay attention to you, it makes it easier to work here. You know, so she went from this person who was just trying to stay out of sight and survive and had no ambitions to becoming, and I wouldn't say she didn't go feminist or anything, but becoming more assertive and taking charge. And in the end, of course, she confronts the guy who is trying to have sex with her, and she shoots him, which is understandable, I think. But I mean, she makes the journey. She makes the hero's journey. Tank Girl doesn't do jack shit. She's the same fucking character, beginning to end. So if anything, the movie was really about Jet Girl. She just didn't get enough screen time to justify naming the movie after her. My final notes here, I said, why kangaroos? Not that clear. Again, why did we cross with kangaroos? And the final thing I wrote down about this movie, why was anyone doing what they were doing? Question mark. Like the kangaroos. So why are the kangaroo men attacking the water and power outpost and everything? I'm not really sure. There's a lot of stuff happened in this movie. I wasn't really sure why it was happening. The music was all like pop songs. I don't know if I say pop, but it wasn't like, you know, like background, like Star Wars has symphonic background music. No, the music was all like songs with vocals and stuff like that. The music was terrible. The comic book stills continued throughout the movie and became more obnoxious. The musical part we've covered was terrible. Everything was over the top. Should you watch this movie? I can't say that you should. Is there enough? Again, there were some good scenes. There were some funny bits. I mean, if you want to kind of rip on a movie and drink some beers with your friends, you know, it might be worth it. But it's really hard for me to justify saying you should watch this movie. Even with Jet Girl being cute, she wasn't that cute. I mean, she was that cute. She was cute, but that's not enough to sit. I don't know how long the movie was. I didn't pay attention. It didn't feel long. I'll give it that. Because, you know, some movies like that James Bond, Never Say Die, 2 hours, 43 minutes. It felt like 2 hours, 43 minutes. Jesus God. I thought it was never going to... And the thing is, at least Tank Girl started. Like the James Bond, Never Say Die. I was kept waiting for the movie to start. It was just building and building and building. Okay, when are we going to get to the action? When is it going to start? It did finally start at the end when James Bond went to the bad guy's place, you know, the bad guy's hideout. But it finally started like 2 hours and 30 minutes into the fucking movie. Tank Girl, yeah, at least it was moving. I can give it that. The pacing for the most part was pretty good. The movie moved along. There were parts where I was just like, oh, this is not good. I think this is a poor choice. But the pacing was good. I mean, the acting was good. Again, it's a comic book movie, so I expect a particular approach to the characters and how the characters are played. I expect things to be, because it's not just a comic book, because some comic books, of course, can be very serious, like Dark Knight Returns or The Watchmen, and those should be done in a totally different way. But Tank Girl, given what I know about the Tank Girl comic book, it is very bright. It's kind of over the top. It has that I haven't read it, but that's the reputation it has. So that's kind of what I expected. So the acting was good for the characters, for the way I expected the characters to be portrayed. Some of the special effects were obviously, you know, like plastic airplanes and stuff. But again, I think it fit the... It fit the movie. It fit the genre. Like when I could look at Jet Girl's little jet and tell that it was a plastic jet, I didn't care. It was fine. It fit in for what the movie was. So there's a lot of things I think were done right with the movie. It's just that there was too fucking much. And too much turns into a problem. Because as we say in the biz, less is more. Hey, good morning, children. It's the great one. It's the next day. Came back here with the adenium, if that's the correct pronunciation of that word, which it may or may not be. I don't know. Anyhow, man, do I got some stuff I got to talk about. Boy, but not now. God damn it. There's not enough time. There's not enough time for me to play computer games and podcast. I need way more. All right, anyway, the quote, "You lack the courage." Okay, now I remember what was going on with that quote. So at the beginning of the movie, we have the scene where we have to establish that the bad guy is the bad guy, right? And so we have the thing where the bad guy is being reported to by his lieutenants, and they're like, yeah, we captured all this territory, and we got all this water and everything. And I don't really understand either the universe that we're in, because, like, okay, it's this corporation, it's this company, Water and Power, and, you know, they're running around, like, shooting people and stuff. Like, are they the government? Are they in league with the government? Is there a government? Like, you know, the whole the world building, I don't really, again, the movie doesn't convey a clear sense of what the world is and how the world works. So we've got the scene where we're establishing that the bad guy is the bad guy. And it's very cliche, you know, and the lieutenant's telling him, yeah, we accomplished all this. We just got this one little section of territory left to conquer and we'll have it all. And, you know, and then the bad guy gets angry and he breaks some stuff. And so he breaks all these glass panels. There's all this glass on the floor. And so he tells his main lieutenant here, who just told him, gave him the report, says, all right, take off your shoes. And the guy takes his shoes off. He says, now walk over to me. And so the guy has to walk across the broken glass to get to him. Yeah, again, it's like, okay, this is all, we're yawn. It's the establishing the bad guy is the bad guy. So then the guy gets over there and the bad guy says to him, you lack courage. The bad guy says to him, you know, but essentially, I don't remember the rest of the exact quote, but he says to him, if you had any courage, you would have told me no, and you wouldn't have walked across the broken glass. And I'm like, you know what? That was very clever. The movie has a lot of very good moments in it. I know I've said that already, but it's another day for me, and so I'm going to say it again. The movie has a lot of good moments. It's like, you know, because here you've got your standard boring ass establishing the bad guy is the bad guy scene that you've seen a million times. He's like, yeah, you know, you're a pussy because you shouldn't have done what I just told you to do. Like, it was good. And then, of course, the bad guy kills him because we have to establish the bad guy is the bad guy. And he kills him with this little thing he has that he sticks in people and it sucks some of the blood out of their body. And then it pulls the water out of their body. And then he pulls the little jug of water off and he drinks it. Kind of a, you know, water vampire thing. Clever. Very clever. Another thing about the movie that pissed me off that I kind of glossed over, because my notes weren't that good. So I told you it's got the comic book stills in it, right? Where it just shows you pictures from the comic book. Well, then, partway through the movie, I think it first happened in the terrible montage where they're painting and preparing their tank and their jet, they introduce actual animation, like animated sequences. So I got live action, I got a musical. I'm trying to figure out if this is a satire or if it's a comedy or if it's a dystopian movie. And then I got comic book stills, and now I got animation also. Once again, this just goes back to the main problem this movie has, in my opinion, is the movie doesn't know what it wants to be when it grows up. It's just everywhere. So the animation, and then at the very end of the movie, the end of the movie goes out on an animated sequence. Like, hold on, you just gave us this movie, and you know, instead of ending it with the actors, the main characters, having some kind of scene, you know, of reconciliation or of realization or of acknowledgement of growth, or, you know, giving the movie is ending. You want to end the movie with your main characters doing something memorable. You want to give your actors something to take the movie out on, right? And instead you give me this animated sequence of this tank like leaping across canyons. It's because I'm like, I how much fantasy world is this? Again, the tank being intelligent or AI'd or whatever the fuck it is. Now you're, but you're showing me this animated sequence of a tank jumping over a canyon. Am I supposed to believe a tank is really jumping over a canyon? Or is this metaphorical? Like, I don't know what's going on. Are we doing fantasy? Are we doing, you know, science fiction, but where the laws of physics apply? Like, what the fuck is going on with this movie? So anyhow, I've given it a final rating also, because I didn't do that. So on a scale of 1 to 10, where do I put this movie? I would have to say that, because like with chicks, like with girls, my 0 to 10 scale, 5 means that I would bang a chick. Wouldn't maybe put a lot of effort into it, but I would bang her. So on this movie scale, 0 to 10, 5 means, okay, watching the movie won't kill you, but you know, you shouldn't go out of your way to watch the movie. I mean, again, you know, I said it's if you got some beer and some friends over, it's a movie you could watch one time and just have some fun with it. So I honestly, I think I have to give it, I'd say it's about 5.2. It's watchable if you don't have expectations for a good movie. Because it, and also, I talked about this, Harley Quinn, the actress who plays Tank Girl, her voice is exactly the voice I would envision for Harley Quinn. And the whole time I'm watching this movie, I just can't get Harley Quinn out of my head. All right, now I think that's it. I think I've covered everything I need to cover on Tank Girl.